Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome along to the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. I first met this week's guest back in June 2021. Derek Brown cares for his wife Margaret, who's living with dementia, and he's also a tireless dementia campaigner. Forthright with his views and never taking no for an answer. We have a lot in common. Well, Derek, it's great to have you back here on the D Word. I know you've been up to a lot, got a lot of things on, but before we talk about those, where we left it was that you were looking for Parliament to change the law so that council tax discounts started at the date of diagnosis, as it were, or GB certification. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, how has that been going, or not, as the case may be?
Well, it's moved considerably. At that stage, I think I was on number 2 petition, but I did 3 UK petitions. None of them reached the 100,000 mark, but somebody whispered in my ear that if you get onto your local MP, they can put forward what they call a paper petition, exactly the same thing to Parliament, and I'll give you a guess how many signatures they need.
Probably 1.
Well, nearly, they need 2.
Okay.
They need 2. So our local MP, you won't have heard of him, Rishi Sunak, is our local MP, and he did that when he was Chancellor, actually. And so when he was Chancellor, before the Liz Truss scenario, so when he was Chancellor, he put forward the paper on my behalf, and basically we got a similar response as I'd done previously, which is either we're not thinking about changing the council tax rules at the moment, and the law as it stands is okay as far as the councils are concerned. You may recall I'd been to the High Court over this as well, and took our local council to the High Court. And basically the High Court said, yes, they can hold on as long as they like until they've got attendance allowance and the GP certification. As you probably will guess, that hasn't stopped me. I'm now in the process, because the council tax is administered, you have to have attendance allowance and you've got to have the GP certification. But because the council tax is administered by each individual UK country, if you like, I then did a petition to Wales, which I didn't get the right number, but I'm in the process of going through a petition through Scotland. And that's still ongoing, and that's still banging backwards and forwards. I am getting a lot of support on that petition from the Alzheimer's Scotland. I haven't gone through Northern Ireland, because Northern Ireland already do what they call a loan scheme, loan as in single person scheme, and that comes in at the age of 70. And basically, they don't need attendance allowance for that. So effectively, Northern Ireland already does what I was fighting for. So that's been ongoing, and I've done one or two other challenges. But my main challenge at the moment is really to do with Margaret's situation, which, you know, she's got Alzheimer's. And last Christmas, the 2022, she had a fall. She collapsed, and she lacerated her hand. sort of 15 centimetres by three, which is basically ripped all the skin off the back of her hand. She banged her head and basically collapsed. She was actually showing me a Christmas present that I'd bought her, and she walked from one room to another, because at that time she could walk perfectly well, and she was walking backwards and forwards with this present that I'd bought her. She turned round and went back into our lounge, and as she went through the kitchen, she collapsed and lacerated her arm, banged her head, and we finished up in hospital for 4 weeks. Now, you probably guess that, being an awkward person that I am, I refused to leave her side for the whole of the 4 weeks, 24/7. So that was fortunate, because there was one or two events that really, I was glad I was there. Shall we put it that way? I won't go into all that unless you'd like me to do. But really, I wasn't. If I'd not been there, all I can say is they were about to administer a lethal dose of medication. Yes, that's roughly how I felt at the time. And they didn't help. For anybody that's got dementia, they'll know if you're in bed for 4 weeks, the problem is your cognitive skill to walk stops. Well, it doesn't stop, but it deteriorates considerably when you're in hospital. And while we were there, I was arguing, debating with the staff repeatedly that I wanted Margaret to be helped to walk. And the occupational therapist said, oh, no, we can't help her because we might hurt our backs. So I thought, a few little words to myself. But she came out, and now she's in a hospital bed permanently in the lounge. She's in a wheelchair. She could walk in, but she's never walked since. I can get her to do half a dozen steps through the house if I'm supporting her, but really supporting her. So now I have to wash her, dress her, feed her. She can't eat herself. I have to clean her, make her meals, feed her meals, everything now. I do have carers that come in once a day because she's double incontinent as well. So I have carers come in once a day to clean her up. But really, the original package when we'd been in hospital was to provide four sets of carers. But to be perfectly honest, by the time you've prepared for them coming, and I know that's silly, but you've got to allow quarter of an hour early, quarter of an hour late, four times a day, there is nothing left in your day. So basically, I cut it down to one a day, which, of course, I'm paying for. But, I mean, that's just part of the whole process. But what I wanted to talk to you about today was, you probably will remember, or you may remember, that during the process, having gone through the process of going to the memory clinic, to the doctors, et cetera, et cetera, I went back to the doctors at one occasion and I said to him, look, I could do with some sort of social event that Margaret and I can go to with sort of like-minded people or people in the same circumstances. So he said, well, the best thing to do is in our town, North Allerton, to go to Age UK. So I said, great, I'll go to Age UK. So I went to Age UK and they provided me with a booklet with lots of local things that are going on that we could both attend. And that was great. And then when I was just leaving, because I went on my own to see them. When I was leaving, the lady that was giving us all the information said, of course, you're on the attendance allowance, aren't you? And I said, pardon? I said, I've never heard of attendance allowance. Oh, well, attendance allowance means you can have around about either £80 or £100 a week to help with the bills. It's not tied in with anything. It isn't. It's nothing to do with attendance, as in having carers coming in. It's just so that it helps you to attend to your person that's got dementia. And it actually says you can use it for taxi fares, you can use it for paying the gardener or a meal out or anything like that. So it's not designed to service the bill for attendance. Anyway, I thought this is great. So I went back again and filled all the forms in. It's a nice little form. It's only 31 pages long and 52 questions. So it's dead easy to fill in. But Age UK helped us do this. They just gave us a list of half a dozen things to bring in. And she worked all the way through it and sent it off. And the attendance allowance, the day that the Department of Work and Pensions received the attendance allowance, that's the date that they start paying you. So it doesn't matter if it takes them a week to process it, because it's from the date that they receive it. So that was great.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This is the D-Word podcast with my guest, Derek Brown, who's been talking about how he discovered the free help that's available for people living with dementia.
And then about a month later, we went to see what we'd call, well, what they call the frailty nurse at the GP practice. And the frailty nurse went through all the proceedings and talked through everything, talked to us both. And that was all very good and very helpful indeed. And then at the end of that conversation, she said, but of course you get council tax discount, don't you? And I said, what's council tax discount? And it said, well, with Margaret having attendance allowance, effectively, you would finish up as a single occupancy as far as attendance allowance is concerned. And I said, well, nobody tells you this, do they? Nobody tells you. And you think, well, the council aren't going to tell me, are they? That's for sure. And evidently, if a person is living alone with dementia, they get 100% off the council tax. So they get the total council tax for free. Anyway, all I can say is that time plodded on and I went to different groups and Age UK and Dementia Forward and Carers Plus, all these other groups, most of them of my own, but once or twice with Margaret. So you're learning from other people's experience. And basically, there's lots and lots of things that people can receive that can help them. And I don't necessarily mean financial. I mean helping them, and it sounds a bit of a funny subject, but you can get continence pads for free. Everybody's heard of the blue badges you can get for free. You can get a blue key for disabled toilets. You get lots and lots of things that are free. So what I set up was an internet site, and I have no technical qualifications, no medical qualifications whatsoever, only, if you like, 6 years of life experience dealing with dementia. So I set up this internet site called Dementia Guidance, and it literally is just guidance from my own experience, from our experience. But when I set it up on the internet, when you go on the internet, there's lots and lots of help on the internet, and lots of charities put information on the internet. But all I can say is I'm not very good at the internet. I'm pretty thick. Because when I left work, there was this novel thing about, and it was an Americanism called the internet. And when I was at work, they said, oh, this will never catch on. So nobody was interested in the internet when I left work. And I left work before the millennium. So I'm an old git, as I call myself. But the principle was there was nothing going to happen on the internet. But I set up this internet site myself, and what I decided to do was I wouldn't put lots and lots of information. I do put a lot of credit to the charities, but it's deliberately designed for people who, shall we say, are very, very basic on the internet. And it's just a single scroll down with information and where to go to find out some more information, like where do you go for the attendance allowance, council tax discount, which form to ask for at the council and this sort of thing. So I set that up and I thought, oh, this is good. I'm trying to help everybody else that's out there trying to deal with this. And then I used to go to these different groups and I used to say, oh, it's a card. And there's my internet site and here's a freebie pen. And that's my internet site. And then I'd go back to the meetings about a month or so later. And the same people were there. And I said, oh, did you look that up on the internet site? Oh, no. No, I'm not happy working on the internet. I haven't got the internet. My grandson, he does all the internet for me. I don't like the internet. So, and this plodded on. And then, as I say, I used to get a lot of involvement with such as the Alzheimer's Society. And the Alzheimer's Society, if they wanted a newspaper article or somebody to talk, and they know I can talk, they used to phone me up and say, Derek, can you do an article for something? So anyway, they invited me to get involved on BBC Two documentary. And that was Inside the Care Crisis with Ed Balls. And I'm just looking at my notes. And that was in November 2021. And they came round and they filmed for a whole day. And like they do, you finish up with a five-minute slot, which was fine. And then, but on the slot, I was mentioning this internet site. And Ed Balls said, oh, can I have a look at it? So he'd... Part of the program shows us looking at the internet site. And I said, well, there's this on it and this on it and blue badges and attendance allowance, this, that, other. And he said, isn't this something the GP should be giving people? Why are you doing it? Isn't it something the GP should be handing out every time somebody's diagnosed? Why aren't they doing it? And this wording sort of stuck in my mind. And then again, and this was... I'm looking again at my notes, October 2023, the Alzheimer's Society, they did what they called an accelerator program. And basically what it was if you came up with a new initiative, they would sponsor you to do this initiative up to £100,000. So I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. So I applied for this. And what I suggested was that I produced the leaflets, because by then I'd started producing them in leaflet form, this information, because people were saying they can't use the internet. So I'd produced a few leaflets, I say a few, 3,000 leaflets to distribute locally. And I said, on this accelerator program, I said, well, I'd like to post them out to the GPs. Dead easy. Post the leaflets out to the GPs. Unfortunately, they decided it wasn't an initiative enough and it wasn't computerized and this sort of thing. So I got turned down on that. But what I did do when I was doing that, I sort of did a thumbnail calculation myself as to what it would be to produce. Because you look up on the internet and it tells you I focused on GP practices, not GPs themselves, because I don't think the GPs have got the time to hand these out, really. But our experience with the people that can hand them out are the frailty nurses, the care coordinators, and now the social prescribers. It's not really the GPs that go. They've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes to sit down with somebody, and they want to solve the medical problem. They can't solve the other problems, but the care coordinators, the frailty nurses, they're the ones that can have a few seconds just to hand out the leaflet. So that's what I'm focusing on, and I established that throughout the UK, England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, there are just short of 8,000 GP practices.
Hi.
I'm chatting to Derek Brown about his new campaign aimed at providing information in every GB surgery about free things available to people living with dementia. And as he explained, it was going to prove an expensive exercise.
And it worked out about £48,000 to do that one job, just to every single GP practice. Anyway, at the time of putting it together, what I did do is go around and sort of did a specification and sent it round to several printers, one of which was just round the corner from us. But they came back with a lot lower budget, about 18, 20,000. And I thought, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to wait for other people. I've been to lots of charities. I went to the Alzheimer's societies. Apart from that, saying, would they help? I went to other charities saying they would help. And the answer was a genuine answer. And that was that they hadn't written it. And therefore, they didn't want to assign themselves to it. And my internet site is, I control the internet site. So I could put whatever I like on it. And they didn't want to get associated with that anyway. As well. But I understand all that. But all that made me think, well, sod it. I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm now in the process of, through the local printer, every single GP practice throughout the whole of the UK, and I've managed to get an up-to-date version from NHS data. So I know, and they update the actual names of and the number of active GP practices every 2 or 3 months. So I know I've got an up-to-date list, and that's now with the printers. And he's arranging to send out a pack of 20 leaflets to every single GP practice throughout the whole of the UK. And I know you may have already, the programme may not go out, but all of them will be with every single GP practice by the end of the second week in April. So my important thing is that they're there to hand out. And even on the covering letter, I have put simply, if you want some more, just send an email to contact@dementiaguidance.co.uk and I'll send you another 20 or however many you want. So as far as I'm concerned, remembering that you've got around 950,000 people with dementia now, and the number goes up and down, but about 600,000 of them are at home, according to the Alzheimer's Society. And what I want to do is get the information to these 600,000 at home. Because these are the people, I believe, they've got their loved ones with them. And if they can get any help to go through the financial crisis, social crisis, economic crisis, by providing them with continence pads, with a little bit of money, with a cut down on the council tax, that's what it's all about as far as I'm concerned. And that's what I want to do, is get it out to them. Yes, I've only printed to start off with 170,000 of these leaflets. But if we need more, somewhere along the line, I'll find the money and I'll get them out there, because it's so important to me that people caring for their loved ones at home don't finish up having to put them in a care home and probably, in a lot of cases, losing out on their inheritance that can pass on. Because the significant thing that I've put in this leaflet is that every single thing in this leaflet, apart from one or two things, are free benefits. The benefits are available throughout the whole of the UK, every single part of the UK. There is no means test on anything that I've put in there. It doesn't matter what income you've got. It doesn't matter what savings you've got. And also, there was no requirement for a formal diagnosis. Everything in my leaflet has those four criteria. I must admit, I've also included lasting power of attorney, which I know has got a fee to register it of £82 each power of attorney, lasting power of attorney, either the health one or the financial one. But for me, I believe they have to seriously consider that, because I know in our circumstances that we couldn't do it now. Margaret cannot sign a name, so she couldn't do the application now. So, and she can talk an odd word or two, but she couldn't really comprehend it all. So I had sorted this out before she's now unable to talk. So I would say to everybody, that's something that you really, really must consider. It looks complicated, but you can either get somebody like Age UK to help you fill it in, and depending where you are, they may fill it in over the phone now, or fill the majority over the phone, or, believe it or not, Citizen Advice. Now, Citizen Advice is somebody that, from my generation, they were part of the government, so the last place you'd go was to Citizen Advice. That's not right. I'm ignorant of that. I've learned that Citizen Advice is now a totally separate charity. So anybody worried about going to Citizen Advice and the information getting back to the tax man or whatever, no more. No more is that going to happen, because they're a totally independent charity. And a lot of the Citizen Advice now will do attendance allowance, will do lasting power of attorney over the phone. So the answer is, don't worry about that. Get on to them. Get their lasting power of attorney done. Get the attendance allowance done as soon as you possibly can. Because as soon as you get the attendance allowance, you can go on to council tax discount. As soon as you get the lasting power of attorney done, that gives you control over people's, and I have to be careful on this, it doesn't give you control over people's bank accounts. It gives you control if they are no longer able to control their bank accounts. So as long as you've got it in situ, if that person says no, the law stands that their ruling is correct. But if they lose the cognitive skill to be able to control the finances, you can take over. Basically, you can only take over with their approval. You can't do it just because you want to get into their bank account. It's got to be with their approval and their knowledge. So that's good, and it's got a safety net on that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
On this edition of the D-Word podcast, I'm chatting to dementia gambiner Derek Brown.
My biggest problem in this whole process is that when people go to the doctors and they get the permission to go to a memory clinic. And it's the memory clinic that goes through all the process of analysis. They determine whether they've got Alzheimer's, Margaret's got Alzheimer's, or one of the 200 and odd different forms of dementia. They do that. And they also go through the process of stabilizing medication. And then they go back to the GP if it's just repeat prescriptions, basically. So the doctors pay a big part. The memory clinics pay a big part. And the memory clinics obviously have people sat there, and they have, they're nearly all, well, as far as I know, they all have a waiting room. And in that waiting room, I'd like to get some more of these leaflets for people who are waiting for dementia. I say it's dementia because it doesn't matter which form of dementia they've got. My experience is only with Alzheimer's. But all these benefits and services apply equally to any form of dementia. I've got a neighbour that keeps saying, I've only got Parkinson's, so I don't need this. And I keep saying, Parkinson's is just a form of dementia. And please, please read it, because in time you may find things aren't as good as they are today. So this is what I'm trying to do. Now, believe it or believe it not, you can get a database. Well, you can't get it straightforwardly. You can eventually get a database of every GP practice. But if you want to go back to them, which I thought was nice and easy, I'll go back for a database of the names and addresses of every memory clinic. Did easy. Oh, no, they don't hold them. Memory clinics come under the health trusts. And only the health trusts can tell you the name are an address of each memory clinic. Now, for those that don't know, there's only about 280 different trusts I would have to write to find, and I understand there's something approaching 260 different memory clinics. So what I'm asking you to do, and everybody that's listening to do, if they are working or part of a memory clinic, please, please email contact@dementiaguidance.co.uk. Tell me it's a memory clinic, and I will send you a free pack of 20 leaflets there. I just cannot find, I've been onto hospital trusts, I've been all over the place. I cannot find any listing of all 260-odd memory clinics. But I've always wanted to get to them as well, because that's a focal point for people with dementia. The most majority go through there, one way or another. And a lot finish up back to the GP, and a lot may or may not ever go back to the GP because they may be on a repeat prescription. So really, the memory clinic and the GPs are the major source of getting this communication to people. I've got to be honest, I can't afford to send one out to every single person with dementia. And I couldn't, and I wouldn't, because people don't want to know that, don't want to admit it. And I understand all that. I know all the family problems of not even telling the person with dementia that they've got dementia. So that's not on as far as I'm concerned. But to get to the GP practices, to get to the memory clinics, I believe is the right source. I'm also in touch with Admiral Nurses, and they're doing the same job. So I'm hoping that they will be able to help me on that as well. So you've got GPs, well, really the care coordinators, the frailty nurses, and the social prescribers. We've got the memory clinics, and hopefully the Admiral Nurses. They're all continuously in contact with people with dementia. And these are the people I want to get the packs to. And if there's any way, shape or form that anything that you can do to help me get these, that's what I'm wanting to do.
Well, Derek, first of all, to paraphrase Ed Balls, who said, why are you doing this? Because I think it's very disappointing to me, and I'm sure everybody is listening, that some of the major charities, government organisations, or the health trusts themselves have not got behind doing this. But thank you for what you're doing. You're doing an amazing job, and you know what we can do. I'll talk to you when we come off air about a few things that I'm thinking we can possibly do to aid this on its way, because, you know, in a smaller part, I've been in this position. I've filled in that form for attendance allowance. I know you made light of it, but it is about 40 pages and goes all over the place. I've tried to get a blue badge where the application for a blue badge never mentions the D word, and you have to be a little bit creative to make sure that it gets through. You know, and I've looked at a lot of the other stuff. I've looked at your website, which is excellent. I've looked at the leaflet which you kindly sent me. And it is immensely frustrating that at one stage someone just doesn't give you all this information so you don't have to learn from your life experience. Not the way it should be. And all I can say, we're kind of running out of time a little bit radio-wise. So I just want to thank you for what you're doing. Give our very, very best to Margaret. And hopefully, if we catch up again, which I hope we will, there will have been some real significant progress on this.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to rabbit on for half an hour. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Derek, and we wish him luck in his new campaign. And of course, send our love to Margaret. Do take a look at his website, dementiaguidance.co.uk, and hopefully those new information leaflets will be arriving in your GP surgery shortly. Well, that's all we've got time for on this edition. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk here on the D-Word Podcast.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.